The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He taught a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline a table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. So now, in the story from the Gospel of Luke that you have been listening to just a moment or two ago, it's good to go in a little bit to the background of the Gospel. And in the Gospel of Luke, this evening, for example, is an excerpt from chapter 14. And in chapter 14, Luke has three short little stories that involve Jesus having a meal or having a lunch or a dinner somewhere. And overall, in the Gospel of Luke, there are 10 times instances or stories of Jesus sitting at table and having a meal. And why do you think Jesus was so often at a dinner or invited to a meal in somebody's house? And at this time, Jesus was becoming very popular. People were interested in him. Some people to condemn him for what he was saying, and other people to maybe genuinely hear what he had to say. Right? And then we're also very aware that Jesus used table fellowship, table communion as a kind of a visual sermon, or used it as a cultural critique and a social protest. You might say Jesus invented the sit-in and used all those. He never let any opportunity, so to speak, go to waste. And it's interesting in the gospel this evening also, he began off by telling a little funny story or a joke, in the sense of the man coming in and full of himself and his own importance, as some people are. He went and sat at the best seat or the top table, and the people there would have enjoyed Jesus coming at telling the story of the host coming along and saying, would you mind moving down to the bottom because there's a more important person than you coming. They would have enjoyed that. But then, of course, Jesus was never seeking popularity. He was somebody who never blinked an eyelid, always wanted to point out facts and be absolutely open, honest, and truthful. And so he began telling them the little story, or pointing them out to them. Now, that's very nice, he said to the host, that you invited me along this evening. But the next time you have a dinner, he says, don't invite your wealthy neighbors and your friends and your relatives, but go and invite people you wouldn't normally associate with, like the poor, the crippled, the lame, the homeless. His guests didn't like to hear that. Would you like to hear that? Would I like to hear that? And that's the question. That's the question in the gospel this evening. How we like division. And Jesus was totally, totally, totally opposed to division. Talking about inviting the neighbors along to a meal, there's a little story I came across. This little family, they had one little son, and they decided to invite their next door neighbors along for a meal one evening. And when it came to sitting down and partaking of the food, they said to their little son, now you say a little prayer before we eat our food. And so the little fella looked, and he was stuck, and he didn't really know what to say. And then his mother said, well, just say what you hear Daddy saying, or what Daddy said this morning, and that'll be fine. And the little fella began off, oh God, we have those awful people next door tonight coming for dinner. Lord, help us. You can never trust children, because why? They are uninhibited, and the novels come out with the truth. We teach them otherwise as they get older, unfortunately. So going back to how the gospel story impacts on our life here on the 21st century. Well, I think we have to admit that we can be very prejudiced. We live in a very divided society today, very divided. And it's not just here in this country. In the UK, where I was recently, that's a very divided country at the moment. People who want to leave Europe and people who do not want to leave Europe. People who still want to be part of Europe, and those who, the populist people, who want to be independent of Europe. So there's a great division. There was thousands of people marching in London yesterday, protesting against the Prime Minister, the present Prime Minister, and the government. Everywhere we look today, there's division. We had that again horrible mass shooting in Texas yesterday. Why, and can you see what's happening? We've almost become immune to these kind of things, and oh, we just say another mass shooting. But look at how many families today are bereaved, in sorrow, questioning, how many people in hospital who are seriously injured, critically wounded, some of whom will not survive. I think the five has now gone to seven. So we live in a totally divided world. And the question is, am I part of that division? Now, you can only answer that. Am I part of that division? Do I allow my politics to totally influence how I behave towards people? How wrong that is. That's not the way Jesus would want us to be. How do I, when I look at people from a different race or a different country or a different background to me or less educated than me, do I see them also with a human dignity, every bit as important as I am or anybody else is? I happened yesterday evening to be up celebrating Mass at St. Andrew's Church in Pasadena. And it was interesting. Normally there you go along the outside and you come in from the door at the back of the church. So you walk down along the street. And beside the church, just beside the front door, there's a little bench. There was a man sitting there. I don't know how to judge how old he was, but the poor man seemed not to have had a wash for about 6 months, and he looked pitiful sitting there. And it was interesting how the people going into Mass all passed by and turned their eyes the other way in case they made eye contact with him. But they were Christians. They were Catholics on the way to Mass. They wouldn't even look at him. I stopped and I said hello to him. And I said, "How are you?" And I got the most beautiful smile. He didn't have his hand out. He wasn't looking for anything. Just for his human dignity to be respected. There was no difference between that man and me or anybody else going into that church. He too is the beloved Son of God. He has the same innate human dignity as you and I have. And when I can stand before the Lord, and thankfully I can do it now, and I know I'm far from perfect, I have many faults, I have many, many, many failings. And I'm not trying to overcome all those faults and failings because I know I'm on a loser. I'm never going to overcome all my faults and all my failings. But what I have overcome, thank God, is that I know that God loves me and accepts me as I am. Just as I am. Poor me. And one of my favorite prayers is, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner." And when you can pray that from the heart, and when you can really see your own faults and the shadow side in your life, and that's you, and that's me before God, then you're going to see other people totally different. The beautiful thing about Jesus is that he always accepted people where they were, how they were, and as they were. We don't always do that, and I don't always do that. I don't, and I'm sure you don't. But that's what Jesus wants us to do. Accept people where they are, how they are, and as they are. As they are. And when you can accept yourself, how you are, where you are in life, and as you are, totally, and come before God naked, just as you are, then that changes your whole attitude, your whole outlook on life. You become a more happy person, a more joyful person, and you become less judgmental. Because I'm sure that just like me, nobody here in this church this evening is perfect. Hands up if you are. Thanks. That's good. See, none of us can. And that's the way, and when you accept that, that's the secret, that's the key to becoming a loving person, a caring person, and less judgmental.